Welcome to Ballistic Radio. Join us as we discuss hard-won self-defense lessons, as well as the information you need to survive a violent encounter. Listen as armed professionals, industry experts, national champions, and gunfight survivors help answer all your firearms and self-defense questions while exploring your rights and responsibilities as an armed citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. And now, here is your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com and get the latest behind-the-scenes info, photos, videos, silly stuff, sneak previews.
Sneak previews.
Yeah, I show stuff before it's released sometimes. Arguments, definitely arguments, much like this one, at facebook.com/ballisticradio, co-hosting with me, Melody Lauer.
Hello.
So, what's up?
Not a whole lot.
Oh. Hey, guess what?
What's that, John?
This segment brought to you by Lucky Gunner and Federal Premium Ammunition. Whether there was a firefight or you do, in fact, want to worry about that little guy, you need more ammo, and when it's time to restock, you can't beat Federal Premium Ammunition and LuckyGunner.com. With a shipping department that's always moving at 88 miles per hour, if I order a case of American Eagle from Lucky Gunner on a Thursday, it's at my doorstep ready to shoot before the weekend starts. Head to LuckyGunner.com today to check out their in-stock lineup of Federal Premium Ammunition. And remember, unless you're on fire or drowning, you can never really have too much ammo. So I have a question for you, Melody, and then we'll get today's guest on.
Mm.
Do you ever read an advertisement on your radio show and get distracted by your mustache moving?
Can't say that I do.
Huh.
I mean, because look at this luscious mustache.
I think maybe it was, I haven't had coffee. Anyway, joining us, Craig Douglas. Craig, how's it going, man?
Good, John. How are you? Melody, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. It's good awesome. To hear you. It's good to hear your voice, Craig.
Thank you. Well, thanks for having me back on the show, guys.
Yeah, no, definitely. I would have you on a lot more often, but you're a busy, busy man, which actually it segues nicely into the introduction. For those that don't know who are you, what do you do, and we'll go from there.
I am Craig Douglas. I'm a retired police officer. I did 21 years on the job. The vast majority of my career was spent in narcotics, SWAT, and training. I retired in 2011 to be training full-time, so this is my 6th year of doing training full-time, my 15th year of doing training under the Chivalrous brand globally. I teach in 40 states, 11 countries outside of the U.S., and 3 branches of the U.S. military, some other government organizations, and several federal agencies. So
that's pretty cool.
What's wrong with the other branches of military that they just won't get you on board, Craig?
Yeah, I'm going to have to get them on board. I need to get everybody covered. But
which are the offending parties? I'll have to send them.
No. Now, I am curious about the 10 states you won't visit, though. Is this because of, like, a statute of limitations thing, or?
No.
Ignore me. Feel free.
I haven't booked a class here yet, so there are a few places that I have not been able to get into, South Dakota being one. I haven't taught a class in South Dakota. I want to go there. I've done a class in North Dakota, which Melody was at.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was there.
Yep, you were at the one in North Dakota. Wasn't that a pretty little town, Melody?
Yeah, with like 3 trees. It was incredible.
Exactly. Yeah, I think there was a population of like 400 people. You know, it was tiny, but it was a really cool town. It was neat as a tent.
Yeah.
Interesting, charming place. Yeah, very cool. So just, there are 10 states left that I have not gotten into, and I'm going to figure out how to.
Hmm.
But they're I'm not staying away from them. I'll go anywhere. I pretty much can go anywhere being a retired Leo. So that kind of takes care of the, traveling with a gun problem.
Right. So here's my question. So it's funny. I texted you and also William. He's going to be on later, and Steve Fisher. And none of you asked what we were going to talk about, because you all know that's not how I do things, especially now.
No.
No. But my question for you, and this is actually Melody's idea, and then I have some stuff I want to talk about as well.
Okay.
But have you noticed a propensity for people to interject themselves into conversations or situations that they don't need to, more so than in the past? And why is that a problem, or is it a problem for us as, like, self-defense-minded citizens?
So, obviously, Melody probably listened to my rant on my Facebook Live when I was driving back from Texas Sunday evening, that and maybe gave you some fodder to discuss. Yes, I have noticed that. I have not experienced that personally yet, but I've had friends who have been on the receiving end of a stranger walking up and interjecting themselves into a conversation that they've overheard. For some reason, people have become like the internet. They think like an internet forum or a thread on Facebook that they can just randomly just insert themselves in conversation. And I think there's some interesting implications there for self-defense. Certainly the interactivity level is up compared to what it used to be between total strangers. You know, I travel a lot. I'll be on the road for 40 weeks this year total. I'll do 43 classes in 40 weeks, and I'm in an airport almost every weekend. And I see this a lot. I see people just overhearing a conversation and interjecting themselves into it. So it's and it's usually not in a directly aggressive way, but it's adversarial.
Right.
It is. It's adversarial. So I think the potential for things to really get out of hand are definitely there. But the other interesting thing about this is I think most people that are doing this don't really think it's possible that someone would object and punch them in the face. So
yeah.
That's interesting to me, too.
So it seems like it's a twofold problem. You kind of already suggested the internet is possibly a culprit, or at least maybe internet culture making its way into real life. But it seems to me that you kind of hit on it when you said they don't think people are going to punch them in the face. Do you think that the underlying issue with a lot of people's behavior is not understanding that there's people that will do violence to them for very little provocation, or with very little provocation?
I do, and I think, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with how the kids have come up, you know, and socialized in school. So I can remember Columbine. Now, I was working when that happened, and since Columbine and zero tolerance policies in school for violence, not even what could be argued as healthy violence, healthy problem solving, healthy aggression outlets, people are not allowed to engage in any kind of scuffle. Little boys don't get in schoolyard fights anymore. I saw this in my law enforcement career there towards the end. We had a kid, 23 years old, and we had a military boarded style academy, so there's barracks, and it's very kind of basic training as far as how the young police officers are trained. And this kid, who was struggling throughout the course at 23 years old, had never so much as made a bed in his life. I remember one of the cadre there screaming at this kid, what's wrong with you? Because he was always late to the formation every morning. And the guy said, why can't you make a bed? And the kid said, I never have had to. And everyone was just stunned. You know, you've never so much as made a bed in your life. We're never told. We're never taught. Now you're wanting to wear a badge and be a crime fighter. It's amazing that we've sheltered people and tried to protect them. But in some way, I think we've made them less resilient, less durable. And we have not prepared them for the reality of, you know, hey, you know, somebody may take umbrage to your interjection and might punch you in the mouth when you offer an unsolicited opinion. So Yeah, I think we've lost quite a bit there. And I say that as a guy right at 50 years old, John, you know. So you could argue that I'm kind of grumpy, but it's the truth, man. I just see a lot of people that the idea that somebody might punch them in the face because of what they said is just no more reality. And there's a, you know, there's a reason the term fighting words is actually in some statutory language.
It's actually a Supreme Court case that still has not has not ever had it successfully challenged. So, and I'll look it up during the break. We actually have to go to break right now. We're talking with Craig Douglas from ShivWorks. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Wilson Combat. Wilson Combat, makers of the finest custom 1911s and scatterguns since 1977, a legacy of quality, innovation, and service. Learn more about their firearms and accessories, as well as the new EDC X9, which offers discriminating shooters 1911 match-grade accuracy, superior ergonomics, and concealability with modern service pistol capacity and reliability at www.wilsoncombat.com. So we are talking with Craig Douglas from ShivWorks. So, and before the break, we were discussing fighting words, and how that concept has sort of been sort of lost over the years. You know,
I would agree. You know, I think middle class culture somehow has made a shift towards there's absolutely, and we socialize people this way, there's nothing worth fighting for.
Mm-hmm.
There's no insult, there's no affront worth fighting for. And I think we're teaching kids how to be victims. I really do. Teaching them how to be victims.
Do you think that in some case that's a good thing, though? I mean, I know that there should be things that you are willing to fight for, but isn't kind of one of those sticks and stones kind of things where words shouldn't be, provocative to the point where you're actually willing to fight over them? Or is there, I don't know, what do you think?
Where's the line?
Yeah, where's the line?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's a great question. Where's the line? I think for the most part, historically, people have established the line well within their communities. And I think people regulate themselves for the most part pretty well, and for the tiny percentage of people who don't, maybe that's what public service is for. Maybe that's what law enforcement is for. Maybe that's what, you know, people who randomly bully and shoot their mouths off to others, maybe that's when the state needs to be able to come in and force that person not to. But I think those are exceptional cases. I think they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're exceptional cases. I think for the most part, you know, if it was an unfettered, here's a great question. If there were no regulation and no consequences for saying or doing, with the exception of murder, okay, if assault was not a crime, what would society look like?
Ooh, that is a good question. Like?
Well, I think
if assaulting someone, if murder was a crime, okay, an unlawful, illegal killing was a crime, what would, but every other form of violence, physical confrontation, if that was okay, what would it look like? What would it look like?
I think a lot of people would be in a lot better shape.
I think so. I think so.
I think you'd have a really clear delineation between, I don't know, I'm just thinking in my own mind, like, bullies and victims. Like, I think you'd see a really, because you know as well as anyone does, Craig, that there are people who just are professional victims, right?
Yes.
And they're kind of almost born and wired that way. And they'll never fight back. They'll never, you know, that's just their their personality, and yet you'd have these other people who are kind of born the other way. And there would be this very clear delineation between, hey, these are the people you don't mess with because they'll just beat you up. And then these are the people that we can beat up and have no consequences for doing so.
Well, yeah.
And I'll completely agree with that. Here's the other thing, too. I posit that a lot of passive aggression, especially in the workplace, I think that would go away.
I think
passive aggression from coworkers and employers and bosses, especially that low intensity, long duration passive aggression that arguably probably kills more people due to stress related illnesses and heart disease and things like that more than punches in the mouth do. I think a lot of that would go away. I mean, if your boss could be punched in the mouth, and yeah, maybe you'd get fired, but you wouldn't have any legal you wouldn't get sued. You might get fired, you wouldn't get sued, and you wouldn't go to jail. If that was the case, only losing employment, I think there'd be a lot nicer coworkers. I suspect there'd be a lot of bosses who might think twice about coming in and arbitrarily being casually cruel to people who they know they can get away with it, because that's why they do it.
Right.
That's the whole reason they do it. They know that right at the line they've created this aggression modality that is really unpoliced and unchecked because it's within the boundaries of acceptable behavior. It's not physically violent.
Well, and what's really interesting to me is sort of the concept that, you know, physical violence is abhorrent to society, and we have stigmatized that in almost every way possible, in like really weird hypocritical ways, though. But emotional violence is kind of accepted and condoned, whether we say so or not. And
yeah, it is.
What you're talking about, if you historically what you're talking about, look at like 18th and 19th and 17th century, you know, Western Europe, or even here, where you could call someone out, you know, pistols at dawn, and the arguments that people got into were pretty epic because they killed each other over them, but they were conducted in a very polite and organized way, almost, you know?
Well, with rules, like, you know, rules of the duel.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Here's my question.
I think, you know, probably a lot of people don't agree with me here, but I'll go ahead and say it. I think those were probably simpler times in that regard.
Yeah.
I think they were.
Well, and it kind of makes you wonder too, and I don't know, and this is a genuine just sort of I wonder, but if you look at a lot of the problems that we have nowadays with people that go off the deep end and do weird stuff, and that happened back then, and I've never looked at the research to see like what the rate of incident was per capita, you know, so I can't make a statistical analysis, but it seems like it happened less often, and I wonder if that's because those people got weeded out early on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it very well could be. It'd be interesting to go back and look at that. We may find we're absolutely off base. You know, I don't know, John.
Yeah, but I don't know either.
It's certainly interesting to. That'd be an interesting research project. That would be. That would be.
Somebody should tell.
As far as the nature.
Someone should tell David Humane to do that one. That'd be interesting.
You know, I don't know that dude, but we're Facebook friends.
Yeah.
And I know he's a interesting guy with what he's doing about gun culture 2.0. And yeah, I'd be interested to see what his research indicated. I would be.
Let's bring this back around to something that people might be interested in. But so if somebody interjects themselves in our conversation that way, What's the best way to handle it? Or is there a way to handle it? Or does it kind of depend?
Yeah, I think direct, focused, no nuanced language, maybe not using profanity, but telling someone, you know, cutting someone off. You know, initiative is initiative, and initiative is a strategic concept, making the first move. But someone interjecting themselves in my conversation, probably the first thing I'm going to do is speak louder, and I'm going to interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to talk over them. Now, the problem with that is that can feed a lot of these people who like getting in the shouting matches. I mean, we see that with a lot of different subgroups of people who publicly get in screaming matches and shout over each other. So I think probably the first thing to do is interrupt that person and say something like, hey, excuse me, I have no idea who you are. Do not interject yourself into my conversation. And then go back to speaking. Maybe use some body language where you can turn and face that person, hold their eye contact, drop your chin, raise your shoulders, maybe take a step closer to them in hopes that they might read body language as physically assaultive, but at the same time, you're being polite but firm and direct.
Nice. So let me interrupt there because we have to go to break. So hold that thought. We're talking with Craig Douglas from ShivWorks. Right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. This segment brought to you by Surefire. Know your target and what is beyond it. But how can you really know your target? By shining a really bright light at it. And that's where Surefire comes in. From the recently announced and released new 1200 lumen EDC L2T handheld, or 500 lumen EDC L1T handheld, to the 1000 lumen XH35 or 300 lumen XC1B, Surefire can make sure you never have to yell "Aziz light" ever again. Now, with more lumens and improved switching, the best just got brighter, Surefire. And hey, remember guys, you can get 30% off everything at the Surefire.com web store, except batteries and suppressors, by entering the discount code ALLTHELUMENS, that's ALLTHELUMENS. At Surefire.com. So, we're talking with Craig Douglas, and I had to interrupt you for the break, and I apologize, Craig.
No worries. No, but something like, something like what I described, you know, seizing initiative of conversation as soon as you see someone interject themselves in, squaring yourself on them, forward, athletic posture, and you need to, what you're trying to connote is an unwillingness to have any kind of discussion whatsoever. I think you want to make it very, very obvious that, well, this person might have overheard your discussion, your conversation with another, but they are not welcome to interject themselves or participate. That's what I see people doing, and people have a hard time not inviting someone in.
Yeah.
What they'll do is someone, so the story here, the recent story, good friend of mine that trains jiu-jitsu is in a coffee shop with another jiu-jitsu guy, and the guy, they're talking about a knee ride, and jokingly, this guy says, hey, the knee ride that you put on me, that we need to call that knee ride the Trump, because it felt like a wall, ha 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 ha. Private conversation, okay, but overheard by someone in the immediate area who decided to interject himself into the conversation and started saying things like, I heard what you said, you fascist, get out of my country, blah, 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 blah. So now this is in a large metropolitan area, so you're probably going to have more diverse people who, and some who are most assuredly willing to do things like that. But I think the first thing, if we see a stranger coming over and it looks like, that's where that's going. You know, a coffee shop, probably not a place that supports a criminal act and a crime against a person. So this is mild social aggression, not criminal assault.
Right.
And recognizing that for what it is and altering our tactics of managing an unknown contact, I think we need to probably develop that skill and practice that skill more and more. The verbal gymnastics and the verbal agility now, really, that's your primary weapon. That's your only weapon. Those are your, that has to be honed, I think, to a very, very, very high level to be able to negotiate that kind of stuff and not let it get to a point where you've got, you know, some skinny jeans wearing dude screaming in your face in front of your family and your wife and things like that. Is that immediately dangerous? No. Is it uncomfortable? Absolutely. Does it make life just, you know, not fun? Yeah. So I think being, and law enforcement does this all the time. If there's one thing that I think cops do well, I'm very critical of my formal profession, but I think they man, for the most part, because they have to do it every day, cops manage strangers verbally pretty well. And most cops learn the verbal gymnastics and the verbal agility by doing it and seeing what works and what doesn't. Because yeah, otherwise, you probably lay hands and put cuffs on people every day. So learning how to, I hate to use the word intimidate, but learning how to make a person stop doing objectionable behavior verbally, I think that's an important skill. That's more important than ever. And again, making the distinction that it's not criminal, but it's something that could possibly lead to getting physical. It possibly could. You know, a lot of these people you'll see in these videos, if there's no response or retort, usually they become emboldened. They get closer and closer to screaming in your face. And then when you try and leave, maybe that's when they take a poke at you. You know, they stay on your back. They do something like slap you in the back of the head. And as soon as you turn around and square on them, you'll notice most of these people like immediately run off. If they think, okay, now there actually might be some consequence, they skitter off. So how do you deal with that guy? How do you deal with that person? We had we're seeing this theme in ECQC more and more in the 2-on-1 where somebody will play that, you know, righteously indignant social justice archetype within the evolution. And it's interesting watching guys with guns negotiate that space, man, because it's not criminal. It's aggressive and persistent. But is it something that even rates putting your hand on your gun? No. So spending time dwelling there just to get accustomed to that feeling and also developing some strategies to be able to disengage from that or manage that effectively or preemptively cut it off, I think that's great training, man. I really do. I think that's great training for us as far as resiliency and you know, just learn another side of conflict and conflict management and resolution. Yes. I know that was long-winded.
No, that's fine, dude. The more you talk, the less I have to. And I guarantee everyone listening wants to hear more of you than they do of me. So where does something like an intermediate use of force option, like a really bright light or pepper spray, come into play in situations like this?
That is a fine line, and I would say when you believe it's getting ready to get physical, mm-hmm. That line, though, people, here's the thing. I think more than ever, that particular line is being pushed. People are scooting their toes right to the edge of that line more frequently than ever.
Yeah.
You know, it's real similar to a little kid, and it's real puerile behavior anyway. But it's really similar to a little kid, you know, sticking his chin out going, I dare you, I dare you, I dare you, I dare you. That's kind of what people are doing.
Yep.
They are. They're just literally daring you to do something physical. They are. They usually have their phones out, you know, while they're taunting you, and you're expected to deal with that. So, you know, it's a muddy gray area. It really is. But I think that here's the thing. Can I disengage safely? Can I escape safely from a persistent, borderline, aggressive person? Can I do that?
And what's the benefit of, I don't want to say like killing with kindness, but there's that theory of like calm breeds calm, and just overwhelming them with a sense of calm and just, I don't want to say compassion, because at the same time you don't want to appear weak, but where does that come in, do you think?
I think it's a workable tactic. I think that depends on personality type and all. I think that depends on, you know, when somebody's screaming at you and it looks like to them the screaming is having effect. It affects your body language. It affects your posture. It makes you drop and shrink, and it kind of diminishes you. Does that embolden the person who's a passive, aggressive bully, okay, to keep doing it? Or does the effect appear not to really faze you? Can you look at them in a way that doesn't challenge them? Can you not let it affect your posture? Can you let someone at full volume, a half inch from your face, with spittle flying all over you, can you let that person, like a child, scream themselves out? You know? I don't know. You know, it's an interesting thing, and I think some people, I think you could do it. I think you could. I think it would be an effective tactic for you. You know, you've got a good, you know, from observing you in simulations, you've got a good game face. I don't think John could do it.
Nope. Not at all. I'll tell a story about that, actually. We got to go to break, though. So we're talking with Craig Douglas from ShivWorks. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Daniel Defense, the country's leading manufacturer of AR rifles and accessories. Daniel Defense, lighter, stronger, better. So we're talking with Craig Douglas, and before the break, we were discussing how Melody's got a better game face than I do, whereas I make people angry when I don't even mean to, you know, or something like that. So we have to... Here, I'll tell a story. I worked security at a bar, a very large bar, for several years, back when I was still in shape and thought I knew a lot more than I did. And I had a situation like that where somebody got in my face. And that was back when I, you know, really, really thought I was cool and whatever. And I kind of pushed him a little bit to get them to, you know, back up or whatever. And then they hit me harder than God hit the earth with that asteroid to make the dinosaurs go away. And I remember laying on the floor going, well, that was a mistake. I shouldn't have done, you know what I mean?
Right.
I have learned since then, somewhat, but Melody's just laughing. Was it the God and the dinosaurs?
No, it's the fact that you got told what for. I kind of like that thought, honestly.
Wow. I was doing my job. Thank you very much. So,
well, it's interesting. It's interesting, too, you know, because you can say something like, you know, when a person comes up and screams at you, you should just smile.
Yeah.
Now, in Melody's case, Melody's smile may connote that she's warm, loving, and happy. And your smile may connote that you're smug and sneering. So even something like that, you know, there's that video going around about the girl who has, I'm not sure I can say, you know, what I'm going to say, but it's something resting face.
Oh, and, yeah, you know, yeah. She has resting a don't talk to me face.
There you go.
Correct. Resting don't talk to me face. And it's a really neat video, because you think about people like that. I have people like that in coursework where just their expressions, and it they're not doing anything on purpose, but they just look like somebody you want to poke. Mm-hmm. They do. They have a look on their face. They're not doing it intentionally, but they look like somebody you want to punch in the mouth. So it's interesting to watch those people, again, in simulations, and see how they're taken. It is. It is. So, yeah, it's an interesting, it's a very interesting place to dwell, a good place to spend time. And I really think it's important, man. I think these days, more than ever, we're seeing a lot of, it's obvious. You see it on TV. Somebody walks down the street and boom, there's a crowd of angry people demonstrating about something. I don't care what it is, politics, the environment, a particular group's rights, whatever, you know.
Well, and what's interesting is you hear about all the time people, like you said, just walking down the street innocently, and they are not involved in anything. And before they know it, they've got three people standing around them screaming their politics at them. And they're like, I'm not even involved here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Let me ask you this, because I had this happen recently. I was at a concert with two people very, very close to me or whatever, and...
What kind of concert? What concert?
It was a pop concert, actually, and this was an...
Specifically, what pop artists, John?
Oh, Imagine Dragons? Is this what we're talking about? Melody is embarrassed right now.
No, I'm just laughing, because I know the story, and this is... I want to know how you're going to explain the story.
I'm not going to tell the story the exact way it happened, because I don't want to. It's my show, damn it. But anyway, there were these two individuals that essentially started, ridiculing the people I was with in a way that I became aware of, but they thought I was not aware of. And the intelligent thing there would have been to just ignore it. And that would have been the advice that I would give anybody. And that is the advice that I am giving everybody. That is not what I did. I leaned over and very politely, be like, hey, I'm sure that's very funny, but can you please stop? I'd hate for someone's feelings to get hurt. That's all I said. And the look of horror on this person's face, and just like, oh my God, like, and I probably said it a little more aggressively. Those were the words I used, pretty much. But
you actually were pretty kind about it. I'll say that.
Yeah. It apparently was intimidating. I don't know. They stopped. That was all I wanted. But where is that line? It goes kind of back to the fighting words thing. And in the court case is Chaplinsky versus New Hampshire, which was a 9-0 decision that held up the concept of fighting words. But where is that line between, okay, I'm just not going to stand for this? Or should there be a line like that? I mean, or is it too dependent?
No, I think everybody, very personally, very subjectively, has that line. I think the older Supreme Court cases were when there weren't nearly as many attorneys in the world, and there weren't, and society was not nearly as litigious. I think the older Supreme Court cases like that were just, but they were based in good common sense and reality. You know, there are most assuredly things that you say that may very well get you punched in the mouth. They may very well get you stabbed. We recognize this. We recognize this now.
Yeah.
Nobody uses the N-word anymore.
Yeah.
The consequences of saying that publicly to a person of color, okay, if that person were to punch you in the mouth, well, that's probably more than likely, I doubt there's going to be a whole lot that happens to that person that's severe, you know?
Yeah.
I doubt it. So that we can't say that line is not there. We can't say it's not there. You know, we've pretty much as a society said, okay, that, even though we don't come out and say it, that it's okay to punch people when you say the N-word, okay? We understand that, well, saying that you should probably nobody's surprised if someone were to get punched for saying the N-word.
Right.
Nobody's surprised by that. You know, nobody's surprised by that.
Well,
so You know, and that's a great question. Should you be able to say the N-word and not get punched in the mouth? There's a First Amendment issue there, you know. I would be okay with anybody saying anything they wanted, provided they were okay with the consequences of doing so.
Right.
I would be perfectly okay in a society like that. You say the N-word, you get punched in the mouth. Okay, hey, man, you want to say it. Okay, cool.
Well, and I think there's a
surprise if you get punched in the mouth.
And I think there's a great lesson there for learning how to, I guess, not necessarily start conflict, but to air your grievances politely. You know, someone says something or something saying, hey, excuse me, I don't appreciate that. You know, you can be
right.
firm without and let your grievances be known without necessarily punching people in the mouth. Now, if it escalates
right.
from there, you know, that's where we're starting to get into all sorts of stuff. But
we're coming up on the end of the show, but I will say this. I'm actually going to disagree because... not disagree so much as bring up another point. I'm fine with somebody getting punched in the mouth. Like if somebody walked up to Tiffany and said that to her and I was there, it would be really hard for me to not try to kill them, just because. That having been said, at a certain point, you know, one of the major issues in the country right now appears to be that people who don't like an idea are completely willing to punch or do physical violence on other people that do like an idea arbitrarily. So it seems like a really fine line and a really dangerous, like, concept to get into. It's almost like those old guys wearing wigs knew something, and they're like, hey, you should be able to say whatever, you know, and it's protected. Right?
Right.
But, hey, if people want to come take a class with you, Craig, where can they do that at? Because we're out of time, man.
So www.shivworks.com has the training schedule on there. I am not teaching as many open enrollment classes next year as I did this year. I simply cannot be on the road 40 weeks out of the year. Closed coursework is picking up, so I will probably do about 24, 26 open enrollment courses, and that's really it. Everything else is going to be closed, but I'm certainly not giving up on the base. But shivworks.com has the training schedule, and it's updated. It needs to be updated, but I think I've got it booked through, actually the year is already booked, but I've got posted through June right now. Catch me there.
Nice. Hey, Craig, I appreciate it, man. Go go do good things, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, buddy. Thank you.
Yep, be safe.
Bye.
So make sure you check out our website, ballisticradio.com, like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio. And, hey, keep leaving those 5-star review on iTunes. We really appreciate it. Helps us out. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe. See you next week.